This morning, let's begin here. If you have your study guide, we're going to begin here in lesson number 9. Okay, and so we'll go ahead and reference the questions, and then we'll go on into the lesson this morning. All right. And so lesson number 9, today the lesson is on the requirement of stewardship. And we have been talking about stewardship for some time, we're going to see here that there's one requirement. And so we read some verses, and notice Monday's question in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. What is the primary requirement of God's steward? What is the primary requirement of God's stewards? Yes? Okay, faithfulness. That's it. That's the one word. That's the requirement that God has of stewards, faithfulness. On Tuesday, if you read Genesis 15, 1 and 2, and Genesis 24, 1 and 8, who was Abraham's steward, and what were his responsibilities? Yes, okay. So his basic, I guess, all-encompassing responsibility, we know, was over the whole house of Abraham. I believe it is in a sense that when Joseph was over the house of Potiphar, I think it's in the same sense that Potiphar didn't know, you know, Joseph was in charge of everything. Except in the case of Potiphar, he just cared about what he ate. And I think in the same sense, the servant, Eliezer, was that for Abraham. And the specific, as mentioned, responsibility was to find a wife for Abraham. That's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? And so we'll talk about that. Wednesday's question, read Matthew 10, 1 through 8. Why were the Lord's disciples to freely give? Why? Yes, Margie? Yes, because they had been given. So as they had been freely given themselves, they were also to freely give. Thursday's question, in the parable in Luke 15, 20 through 31, what did the father say belonged to his son? Now, it's referring here to the elder son, the second son that stayed home. Okay, so what was said? Yes, Jenny? Yes, the father told the son, you have everything. That is everything that I have is yours. Okay. Friday, according to 1 Peter 4:10, every believer is a steward because we have received what? Yes, because we've all received the manifold grace of God. And then Saturday, read Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In what way did God's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, provide a pattern for us to follow? Okay, good. And really, and that really means he was faithful, right? Didn't he say that I came to do my Father's will? And everything that he did was in complete accordance to the Father's will, okay? So that's a great example in stewardship. All right, well, if you want to keep that open, you follow along there, the outline of the lesson this morning. But let's begin here. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we're going to read the first two verses here, and if I could have someone volunteer to read those two verses, we'll begin here this morning. All right, Brother Smith. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and let's read the first two verses.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Okay. Now, the title of the lesson this morning is The Requirement of Stewardship. We've already talked about talents. There are different talents that are given to different people. Not everybody has the same talent. We talked about the stewardship of the gospel. There are some things that are applied to our stewardship of, in other words, we are all stewards of this particular thing, such as the gospel. But then there is individual responsibility, there's individual stewardship, to where there are things that are particular to you, that God gives you and entrusts you with that particular thing. And that applies to every area. For example, money. Some people have more money than others. That's not a bad thing. It's just some people have a greater accountability, okay, of that stewardship than perhaps others may. But what we're focusing on this morning, although we can talk about the different aspects of stewardship, as we've been talking about, even ownership versus stewardship, is that the focus is on the last two words of verse 2. It says this, found faithful. That's the requirement of stewardship, that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is the one requirement of stewardship. I think this is tremendous because the responsibility is not to say, well, this is what I expect. And isn't it true that God does not look at or expect the amount of fruit? And what I mean by that is, he says, if you, the branch, abides in me, and I in him, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So really the only true requirement is not the fruit, because that's what the Lord produces. It's faithfulness. And that's what we want to emphasize this morning. John 3:16, we know the verse and we're familiar with that. And we've all often referred to the gospel as the gift of God. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the important question today is this: what are we going to do with this great salvation that we have received? Because this salvation has been given to us. It is the gift of God. And therefore, we have a responsibility. The implications of that gift are tremendous. It's not just any gift. It's not just the regular Christmas gift that you get to your kids that they throw away after a week. Okay, there are tremendous implications to that. The Christian life is much more than salvation. Salvation is great, and I'll be the first to rejoice and to preach about salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. But there's more to the Christian life than just salvation. Salvation is not what we have done for ourselves. It is what we have received from God. And therefore, if we have received something from God, then we automatically become stewards. You see, we have been saved to stewardship. We have been saved to be stewards of God. So stewards, in the book, I don't know if it's that quote is in there, but stewards is simply this. Stewardship is our response to God. It is how we are responding to God, what he has done for us, his salvation, and what he expects of us. And so as we look at the lesson this morning, I want us to consider, first of all, and these are really simple truths you find here in your study guide. First of all of God's children are stewards. The subject of stewardship, again, is going to go beyond the claim that we are the children of God, although that is a great claim. And we ought to rejoice in that and speak much of that. But many people will say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yet there is no implication as to what are we supposed to do in the Christian life. And there's really no consideration of the stewardship of the Christian. And so we find an example. We mentioned the verses here in Genesis chapter 24 and chapter 15. And so let's go there. Let's begin in Genesis 15, if you would. Let's go back to Genesis 15, and we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. We mentioned those verses this morning about the servant of Abraham. And so if I could have someone read those two verses, Genesis 15, 1 and 2. Anybody this morning? All right, Brother Hap Ryan. Okay. Now, if we understand the life of Abraham, just understand the implications here. God said that through the seed of Abraham, all families of the earth would be blessed. He acknowledged, we'll talk about that tonight, that the Messiah was going to come from his seed. Not only the Messiah, but Jesus Christ said that his seed would be as the sand by the seashore, innumerable, multitudes of people. Now think about that. Do you think of the implications when Abraham says to his servant, go find a wife for Isaac? He entrusted the steward, his servant, with really the prophetic event of God, the plan of God in Isaac. Because the covenant that God made with Abraham was passed down to Isaac, which was passed down to Jacob, and so on. And so this is a tremendous responsibility. Abraham responded to the Lord by saying, what are you going to do for me? You've given me promises. I have your promises, but I don't have a child at that time. All I have, and that's what he says here in Genesis 15:2, all I have is this steward, this servant. Now, fast forward to Genesis 24, Isaac comes on the scene. And if we go to Genesis 24 and notice verse 1 through 8, Genesis 24, 1 through 8. Notice what the Bible says here. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me until this lad. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this mine oath. Only bring not my son thither again. So Abraham, no pressure. Or Eliezer, no pressure. You see, when Genesis 24 comes, Abraham assigns the steward a great responsibility. He assigned his servant to find a bride for his son Isaac. Now again, we know a steward is supposed to manage the affairs, the property, the goods, the belongings of another. But I want you to consider this, that Abraham entrusted his servant, Eliezer, with what was the most precious thing to him. In the same way, God has entrusted every believer with the most precious thing that he has. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of his dear son that we are stewards of. We've received that. All of us have. And we have to understand that we are all stewards of the grace of God. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so we have learned, I think that we've learned the difference between ownership and stewardship. Everything belongs to the Lord. And he has given us the responsibility of stewardship, but not just in the things that, as we've considered of, for example, our time, our talent, our riches, and the things of that nature, but he has entrusted us with what is the most precious thing to him. Because if we think about the implication of this, Abraham said he believed God that through his seed, and Isaac would eventually come, the Messiah would come. He didn't see the promise of the Messiah come, but he believed God. And here in the midst of that, in the midst of God's plan, in the redemption of mankind, he places his servant in charge of finding a wife, of being in charge of the line of Abraham, of Isaac. And so that's a tremendous responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says this, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, the Bible says, as every man hath received. Every man has received the gift. There is no exclusion in that. And therefore, that means, as we've been talking about this truth, that all of God's children are stewards. Not just the pastor, not just a deacon, not just people that are involved, a missionary or involved in full-time ministry. Every man has received the gift. And therefore, every man, as a consequence of receiving the gift of God, automatically becomes a steward of God. In other words, Because we're saved, we are already involved in the plan of God in this world. It's already happened. And it is an important thing. And God says, look, whether you admit it or not, you are responsible. You have received the gift. And whether you admit it or not, you are a steward. There's no other way to work around this. So we see here, first of all, that all of God's children are stewards. We've all received a stewardship. But number two, the second truth we see this morning in our requirement of stewardship is this, that all of God's stewards are in charge of God's goods. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, if you would. Let's turn there in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. And let's have someone, if someone can read verse 1 through 8. Matthew 10, 1 through 8. Any volunteers this morning? All right, Diane. Matthew 10, verse 1 through 8.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Okay, so notice the expression in the last verse. He says, You have freely received, and therefore as a consequence of that, you must freely give. You see, the disciples who freely received of the Lord, they were to also freely give. The Lord does not give us in order that we might keep for ourselves. Salvation has not been given to us in order for us to just keep for ourselves. He has given us as we have been freely given. Isn't salvation full and free? It's a gift of God. And as we have been given, we are to also freely give. You know, we have received so much from the Lord. Think about it. Our sins have been forgiven. Amen? We've received everlasting life. And that can never be taken away from us. We have access to the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the recipients of God's blessings. Therefore, we must ask ourselves this question. How much of what we have received have we truly given? If we have truly been blessed beyond measure, then how much of that has been freely given? You see, one of the greatest reasons, he put a quote in the book he has, that one of the greatest reasons God saved us is not just to keep us from hell, but to make us His children and His stewards in this world. To put His goods in our hands to be distributed in this world. We are the recipients of the grace of God. So it is when we see our lives not only as children of God, and that we are, but as one of God's stewards, that we recognize that we have been given a responsibility to do with God's goods in this world what is pleasing to Him. You see, we're speaking of the material things, but also the spiritual things. In our lessons, we have been dealing with the stewardship of life. And in that, we talked about the stewardship of our time. We've talked about the stewardship of our talents. We talked about the stewardship of the gospel last week. And I hope we understand by now that stewardship involves every area of our lives, that we are stewards. And in that are material things, things that have to do with our daily life, and there's also things that have to do with spiritual matters. We read here in Luke chapter 15, if we go there, in Luke chapter 15, we know the story of the prodigal son. The youngest son decided to rebel against his father, And he went into a far country. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And he came back to his father. His father accepted him. And his father restored him in the relationship he had previously by putting a coat on him, shoes on his feet, a ring on his hand, which would signify that his son would be just as if he had never departed. And in this whole ordeal, Jesus Christ is really speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. But notice what he says at the end, if we go to verse 25. The Bible says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and notice, and all that I have is thine." Everything that the father had belonged to the son. He says, it's yours. Now think about all the things that God has given us. They are truly from him. The Bible says, perfect gift comes from above. Everything that we have, whether it be material things or even spiritual things, come from God. And truly, as believers, the Bible talks about in the book of Romans, for example, that we are joint heir with Christ. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And all those who are in Christ are joint heirs with Christ. That's amazing. Now, with that being said, I believe that God is saying, everything that I have is yours. And by the way, hasn't he done that from the beginning? We've seen in Genesis. God created all things, and then he says, all right, here, it's for you. He gave it to man. The creation, the animals, everything. He was to have dominion over everything. God gave Adam. Adam had a responsibility. I believe things haven't changed. Whether they're physical or whether they're spiritual, we have a stewardship. And God says, all that I have is thine. Think about it. The time is God's time. My grandfather would say this to my dad and to all his brothers. And he was always encouraged them to be thankful for something. And he said, he said, are you thankful for the air you're breathing? And he says, if they said no, they said, well, then stop breathing. But think about what that means. We understand that the time we have today is the Lord's day. You know, it's not just Sunday. Every day is the Lord's day. That's a gift from God. And therefore, we are stewards of that day, which is God's. The time that we are allotted in our lives. It's God's time. He's the one that enables us to live our lives. He's the one that gives us the breath of life. And therefore, we are stewards of that time. The things that we have, the possessions, God has given those things to us. Say, no, I've worked for those. Or who's given you the ability to work for those? Who's given you the job? It is the Lord. And therefore, we have an accountability. We have a stewardship of that. All that God has, because everything is the Lord, we are stewards of. And he's given it to us. He has entrusted us with those things. Again, we read the verse earlier in 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So think about it. He talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, forgive one another, even as God for Christ hath forgiven you. So think about it in a spiritual sense when we talk about the subject of forgiveness. And we know the Bible says that, look, if you don't forgive someone, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. But really, our forgiveness is a stewardship, isn't it? Have you been forgiven of your sin? And by the way, if you come to the Lord at any time and confess your sin, is He faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all? Yes, that's what God says. Therefore, we are stewards of the forgiveness of God. So, if there is a refusal on our part to forgive somebody else, then we are not good stewards of the forgiveness of God. And we could apply that to every area of our lives, whether it's the physical things or the spiritual things. Even children. Think about my children. They're really not mine. They're the Lord's. That's what they are. That's why we dedicate our children. When we do that, we're saying our children are not really ours. They're the Lord's. And God has entrusted us with those children that are His. And therefore, we are admitting, recognizing that we are stewards of God's blessing in our lives. Is that what the Bible says? That children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. So, stewardship. You see, they're not our children, they're God's children. So we're stewards. Again, we have been given all that God has, He has entrusted us with. So we see in this lesson, number one, that all of God's children are stewards. Number two, that all of God's stewards are in charge of God's goods. But number three, he writes, he says, not all of God's stewards are faithful stewards. Now, all of God's stewards should be faithful stewards, but not of all of God's stewards are faithful stewards. We read at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. People often have the wrong mindset. People often say things like this: well, if I had $1 million, this is what I would do. The truth about stewardship is that we must consider what we are doing with what we do have, not with what we want to have, or what we think we would do with what we would have. You see, stewardship is us being stewards of what we do have. You know, people may think with other subjects, well, if I had more time, then this is what I would do. I would give, if I had more time, I would serve God. The truth about stewardship is that we must consider what we are doing with the time we do have. Don't think about, well, if only I had the time to do that. Think about the time you do have. That's what you're a steward of. You're not a steward of the time you don't have. I know that's very deep right there. You are not a steward of the time you don't have. You are not a steward of the money you do not have. People can think as well, well, if I had these talents, then this is what I could do. Again, the truth about stewardship is that we must consider the talents we do have and ask ourselves the question, are we faithful with the talents we do have? Well, I don't have any talent. I don't believe that. That goes against God's word. I believe that God has given a specific gift to every believer. Some have several, some have many, some have few. But again, the emphasis is not on the gift. The emphasis is on what? Faithfulness with what you do have. Doesn't the Bible say that to whom much is given, much is required? So before we, you know, kind of push and say, well, I wish I had this and this and this. I wish I could do this and that. I wish I had this and this. Well, wait a minute. More gifts, greater responsibility. I was thinking, more children, more responsibility. that's the truth. You see, God will not require us to give an account for things outside of our stewardship. God requires us to be faithful in the stewardship that has been entrusted to us. God has only one requirement for all of us. Faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, some people can do more than others. They can. Some people have abilities that others do not have. Some people will have the ability to give more. But again, to whom much is given, much is required. I think my wife is a prolific reader. She reads quickly, effectively, and she can understand. It takes me a while. You know, she can pick up a book and she can read through it. And I'm thinking, you know, I can think, well, God, you call me to preach. Why don't you give me the ability to read faster or to study quicker or give me a sharper mind? No, God says you're accountable for the abilities you do have. And so we cannot think, and that's the problem, because that's the flesh, isn't it? We always try to think of, okay, God, if I could do this, then you know I would do this. If I had this ability, then I would do this. And what that causes us to do, it causes us to forget all about what has been entrusted to us. And therefore, our responsibilities often are neglected. You see, every single person should be faithful in their stewardship. There's a quote in the book. I thought it was good. I'll read it to you. He says, our faithfulness is going to be judged by our opportunities, by our abilities, and by what we have received. The outcome may be different, but the requirement is the same for all of us. We must be faithful with what God has given us. Let me give you an example that, to me, boggles my mind. Remember Noah, we'll talk about Noah in just a moment. He was a preacher of righteousness. Great, great, great believer, great man of faith to do what he did. 120 years, build an ark and preach righteousness, telling the people the judgment of God is coming. And only 8 people were saved in the ark. Out of the whole entire world, 8 people. And we could say, wow, I mean, that's insignificant, isn't it? If you fast forward, you go to Jonah. Jonah ran away from God, didn't he? For a long time. It took God getting a hold of him, and he did the will of God even with an attitude. What happened? Great revival. A whole city turned to God. A whole city repented. And in my mind, I think, well, who deserved more? A man whose faith did not waver for 120 years? As far as the result, we're talking about the mind of man and the result-driven world. Who should have, in our estimation, more reward? Noah, no doubt. But why did Jonah get the revival? Because it's not about that. It's about faithfulness. You see, Noah was faithful, and that's all God required. It took a while for Jonah to get there. He ended up doing, even with the wrong attitude, even still doing what God wanted him to do, and God brought great revival. You see, God will do a work if we are found faithful. We are not to be consumed with the outcomes, with the fruit. We ought to be concentrate and be consumed with our faithfulness to God. As He is faithful to us, so ought we to be to Him. We'll end in Philippians chapter 1, and the example was mentioned in the questions of Jesus Christ here. He says this, if therefore there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, how did that work out? Well, post-death of Christ on the cross, there was 120 people in the upper room. That's not a large crowd. For all that Jesus had done, the miracles, there were multitudes that had followed him. They ended up turning, and because he didn't want to set up his kingdom, they thought, well, surely he's not the Messiah. And so we would say, well, even the ministry of Christ, look, he was a failure if you think of the appeal to man, but he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was faithful all the way through. You see, it is our natural tendency to gauge our spirituality and our importance in the things of God with the outcome of things. And that's not how God does it. He says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, God is always going to be faithful. Always will. His faithfulness does not fail. We have to concentrate on our faithfulness and ask ourselves the question, Lord, am I faithful with the things that you've entrusted me? The abilities, the gifts, the spiritual things, the material things. Am I a good steward? Lord, help me to be faithful. It is the one requirement of stewardship. I really believe there is going to be surprises in heaven. And what I mean by that is, you know, we live in a society that is result-driven. And we look, and that's just because of our nature, we look at a man of God who has thousands of people in this church, and we say, wow, he must be spiritual. And we look at the little country preacher who's got 15 people in his congregation, and he's been that for 20 years. And we say, well, there must be something wrong with him. Is that how God gauges stewardship? No. He gauges stewardship by faithfulness. You know, the most spiritual men I know are not preachers that I know that I've pastored thousands of people, because I don't know them. The most spiritual I know are the people that I've been around. My dad, for example. So how do you? Because I lived with him, so I know him. I know what he's like inside the house, and I know what he's like outside the house. So wow, he's pastoring a small church. Is that how we gauge stewardship? There's one requirement, and may the Lord help us, okay, to determine in our lives that keeping our eyes on the results will thwart our faithfulness, okay? But keeping our eyes on our responsibility, and that is faithfulness, that is what pleases God. And may the Lord help us.